Alrighty.
Hooray.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Waiters Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers, and we read comics.
Happy New Year?
Yeah.
we're recording this super early, so I don't even know.
Yeah, it's like the 5th. I'm like, what day is it? Yeah, so this will be like the last episode of the year.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Wait, no, first episode of the year, right?
No, this will come on the 29th.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Hello, people of the 29th.
How are you doing? Waiting for the new year? Slacking off at your job, you know, because no one really works between Christmas and New Year's. It's a fake week.
Yeah, it's so time to listen to some podcasts.
I'm going to be working because I'll have 2 weeks of work to catch up on.
Yeah. We got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is The New World.
The New World.
Yeah. And we got Back Matter Matters. But we don't have the news today. We don't have a pull list because we're doing a double episode today recording. And so I guess we'll just get right into the book.
That sounds good to me.
Alrighty. We got The New World. Alex Cott?
Alice Cott. With Trad Moore,
the goat,
doing the artist, and Heather Moore is the color artist. Are they a power couple?
She's Forever Moore. She's Forever Moore, Heather Moore.
What are you even talking about?
Nothing. I'm tired.
Are they a power couple?
I think so. Doesn't she know my colors and shit, right? Because I feel like it's
like an Allred situation.
It's too good. Yeah.
Yeah. It really feels like she
really understands him,
but also
has like immediate feedback.
Yeah, know? And like enhances like a lot of what he does.
Yeah,
this is definitely like an art book
for sure.
Yeah, like Trad Moore.
Are you saying you don't like the story?
No, story's pretty good, I would say, but like just there's parts where Trad Moore
is just doing Trad Moore.
He just does Trad Moore. Like they're like a car crashes through something, and it's the most cosmic looking shit I've ever seen in my life. You know,
I wonder if he's like,
and this is fucking Trad Moore.
Oh, for sure.
Know? But I know we've read like Luther Strode, and it was like really him.
Luther Strode's pretty tame as far as like his style.
Yeah, it was him a little bit more like
anime in a way.
Anime, but also like edgy. Or angsty, something like that.
Yeah.
Just because it was a very bloody book. But like, this is the Trad Moore that like I fell in love with, like this kind of shit.
Right.
So, very good selection. This is my Christmas book this week.
Yeah.
Got me this for Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Good Christmas gift.
Yeah. I feel like his Doctor Strange thing is just him like hardly focusing on story and just like going insane.
I don't know what's going on. What happens in that book at all.
But this is like a good mix of like both.
Yeah. And then... like Silver Surfer Black, I think, is like a lot more of this, but just in space, which for I think sure. is really cool. And he draws a cool Galactus. But yeah, I would say like, if you've read Silver Surfer Black, this is like same era of like Trad Moore.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
So what did you think about this?
I think it's great.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, pretty interesting world. Very, very bold opening, I would say.
Yeah.
But they get like right into it, you know, because they're like, this is what happens. You know, there's some nukes that went off and shit's all fucked up now. But there's a sweet reality show TV. That's basically just cops, but in the future. So it's kind of cool. Very fun designs for some of the characters. And yeah, he's the goat. When you first gave this to me, I thought this was two like women. And I didn't even like, there's so much on like this cover that I didn't realize it's just like a man's pecs and abs on here.
His abs make me a little uncomfy for some reason.
Yeah, they're very, a bit bulgy.
Very defined, you know?
Yeah.
It's not, and then there's like hard lines, you know?
Yeah. I also like just the future designs of like the cops that are in here.
Oh, dude, the armor.
The armor is so big and lumpy and cool.
Yeah.
Which is just his style. But yeah, he carries this for sure. Is there multiple trades of this?
No.
This is the only one?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm surprised we've never heard of this, you know?
I've seen this before for sure. Like I the first scene where she's like going up some stairs, like I've seen that. Out of context,
okay.
Just somewhere posted online, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's definitely Trad Moore.
I feel like I've seen the chapter one cover somewhere, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I think this is kind of like a hidden gem almost.
It kind of feels like it.
I only found it because I was just Googling like weird artists that I liked and then like their work. And I went to Trad More. I'm like, what the fuck is a new world from Image? Only a few years old.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've ever talked about it.
Yeah.
And then good old Ash Ave Comics just had it on hand when I went to look the same day.
They got the weird shit over there.
Hell yeah.
This doesn't mean that
they weird. They do have the weird shit.
Yeah.
Like, if you weird want some weird shit, sure. They have it. It's in the back.
Like it's a Spencer's?
Kind of. No, that's just like the small
press. They got edible books. Underwear back there. But yeah, super cool. What did you think of it?
I was a big fan. I loved it.
Yeah, me too.
I ate up the art. I thought the story is very compelling.
Yeah.
And I think this is just kind of a sweet spot for me when it comes to comics. It's just like cosmic post-apocalyptic shit. And I just like can't get enough of it. And I feel like normally if I don't know what mood I'm in for a comic, it's normally just this anyway.
Yeah.
Like space shit, I will read like forever. And sci-fi, you know? So it's like,
yeah.
And throwing a little love story. It gets me every time. And so
Lovers on the Run, especially.
Yeah.
So nice.
I was afraid that it might be like too similar to like Saga, but I really didn't like get that.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like, it's like,
is that what you thought this was going to be?
Yeah. Like star-crossed lovers kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, just based on the synopsis, I'm like, oh, it's like the same conceptually, but anyway, let's get into it. You already talked about the other, they have color artists, Heather Moore, and then they have something called Flatters.
Yes.
So they have Yes Flat, Ludwig Olimba, and Ludwig. Heather Moore.
Nice.
So I guess it's someone like just doing the flat colors, and then Heather Moore does the spark.
It's basically someone that looks at inks and then puts just like a flat, like monochrome color inside of all of the shapes to help someone figure out what the hell they're looking at.
Yeah, so that's probably
that's my understanding, which probably helps a lot for this because there's some pages where there's so many details. It's like, what am I? It must be hard to like differentiate. So it just saves a lot of time, I think, for
colorists, sure. So. Oh, and Clayton Callis on letters.
Ooh, go.
And then Tom Muller, he's like the designer for this.
He where does, have I heard the name?
I don't know. I know him from this now.
Oh, okay.
But there's a lot of there's a lot of covers that are just kind of like shapes and letters and stuff. And he did all those. He did like the trade design.
He does the trade design too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it like, it's very strong. Like even just like the inside cover for this is just like New World Order, like all like big and.
Yeah. Super bold. Simple, but it's cool.
Yeah. It's fun. So let's get into it, Daniel.
Chapter one, we got some explainer pages.
Yep. April 15th, your birthday.
Yeah. My birthday's doomsday.
There's 5 nukes that hit the United States. And
doesn't hit Arizona though.
No, we're fine. But it, you know, we later recover. We don't really know who did it, but we recover and the United States splits into sections. We got the New California, we got No Man's Land, the Union of Federations, and the United States of East America is not very clever.
Dude, we'll live in California.
Yeah, we'll live in New California.
Hell yeah.
And so this story takes place in like New California. We meet Stella Marie. Is that how you say it, you think? It's like M-A-R-I-S. Maris, Marie.
I was saying Maris in my head.
Maris, sure. She's a cop with like a bodysuit camera that live streams to the show called The Guardians. And then we also meet Kirby, who's like a hacker guy who walks into the network building that like runs the show.
He's like kind of like an anarchist in a way, but he's just kind of like...
He's like a hacktivist.
Yeah, hacktivist.
Yeah.
Good word.
And so
he's very punk rock.
Yeah, he's is
sticking it to the man.
He's got a sweet X scar on his face.
He's got an American flag on his.
Yeah, it's a bit weird
on his thing. He's got a lot of pockets.
It's a bold way to open up the series with all these double pages and stuff of like,
I'm here but for
like,
it. Dude.
It's awesome. I love seeing just Trad Moore open up a series so big and like
doing a cityscape, dude,
the cityscape, even just like this double page spread of just like the. That's not the White House, is it?
It is White House.
It is the White House. Just all fucked up.
I like that he even makes like debris of the White House super Trad Moore.
Yeah, he does. Or just like the clouds in the air, very Trad Moore.
Yeah.
If you don't know who Trad Moore is, like really look him up. He's one of the or like
just it'll this, help when this
cityscape
to this.
Of fucking New California. Are
That's
you
what
joking?
I'm telling you, man.
It's so cool. So he like draws such a dope suit on Stella. Like it's an all white kind of suit and has like tons of like ruffles. I don't know. It's got like a little cape. and it's dope. So basically the point of the show is that it's live streamed and the people can vote live whether to like kill, whether the criminal should be killed or like live. And so they have to like hold them for like a minute while they wait for voting to like finish. But Stella always lets them live despite what like the polls say. And she does that to be like a personality pretty much. And then Kirby's a hacktivist and he hacks the network and he hacks it so that it says smash the police or something. And then also Stella's grandpa is like the president, I think, of either the network or New California. But basically her grandfather has like a bunch of power.
Yeah.
And there's like a really dope panel when the criminal that Stella subdues like looks all crazy.
Dude.
Oh my. And like this, the intensity of it that Chad Moore does in it. Like just shit coming out of his mouth and like the background's all red. Like he just nails the emphasis on this, which I think is so cool.
Dude.
And he'll just do that randomly. It'll be someone like tripping on ecstasy or something and he just like nails it. And I want to look, I just want to stare at it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's awesome.
And even like the page like after that, or one of the pages after that, there's like graffiti on the wall. And it's like very Chad Moore graffiti and it looks super cool. Yeah, it was like the one where there's like kids in that there's like a kid and that woman in the building when she's like first walking in.
Yeah.
And he kills it.
Yeah, he really pays attention to like the background details.
Her like suit kind of reminds me of like that one girl in like Steven Universe.
Oh yeah.
Like this lady right here on the mm-hmm. on the left.
Yeah, it's like very bulky like that.
Yeah, bulky and just like shapy.
Yeah, it's fun. Shapy.
And then a visor and whatnot.
Yeah, there's some like world building stuff that's in there. Basically, Stella goes to the club and happens to run into Kirby, who's also there. They've never met each other, but they hit it off and then they fuck in the bathroom.
Hell cool. Yeah. We get Chad Moore sex scene.
And this is definitely like the coolest representation of like ecstasy or whatever drug this is that I've seen, just because that's purely his art style is just like crazy.
Basically.
I love this dude that's like tripping balls behind him as he's like ordering a drink. Like this dude kind of looks like a frog almost, but he's like, whoa.
Yeah.
So super fun. And then like I just like really enjoy the sequence where like they see each other for the first time and then they end up like making their way towards each other like on the dance floor.
Yeah, they gotta dance their way to each other.
Yeah, which is just like,
and it's like represented in the art.
It's so fun, dude. And then there's like a crazy compilation, they're like fucking in the bathroom, which I think is funny, but yeah, super cool.
A few things. I like how he draws like shadows. Have you noticed that? It's just like completely
like a little
black
little and
it's
blob like under them.
It's little blobs.
Yeah, I like that.
It's very funny. It's like not like, I guess some comics wouldn't even do like a shadow.
Yeah.
Just the fact that he does it is kind of fun.
Yeah, it just makes it look a little blob in his style.
Yeah. And then pop quiz.
Okay.
So when what's his name?
Kirby.
I was like, Froggy. He's like walking home or something from somewhere, from hacking like the government or whatever, or the TV the studio. There's some lyrics that pop up. It says, lights out, gorilla radio.
Okay.
Turn that shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what song that is?
Is it like Beastie Boys or something?
Close.
Is it... It's a band close to Beastie Boys?
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm thinking Limp Bizkit, but I don't think it's it.
Wrong direction.
No, who is it? I know the song.
It's the third most popular song.
Is this on a loop? Oh, it's fucking Rage Against the Machine.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. Cool, good song. Is there... No. What's their second song? Is it, is it that one? I know there's Killing in the Name of, and then...
Bulls on Parade.
Bulls, yeah, yeah. Is that their second song?
Yeah.
Okay. I like that song better.
Gorilla Radio? Yeah, it's a strong one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Bulls on Parade has a, a special place in my heart because it was on
Guitar Hero.
Guitar Hero 3, I think.
Dude, Guitar Hero 3, maybe top three game of all time for me.
Me, might be top one. I don't know.
Dude, I don't know. It'd be like...
Because like, that was like so superior in track list and is so like essential for like my music taste as the rest of my life, dude, you know?
For real. And like you go up against Tom Morello and Slash. Are you joking?
Of course.
And God, I think.
God and then the Grim Reaper.
Is that... That one didn't have Through the Fire and the Flames, did it? That was one.
Sure did.
It did?
Yeah, the third one.
That was the one?
No, the hard song on like one was like Freebird? Cowboys from Hell or something.
Mm. Yeah, Guitar Hero 3 is like an all-timer.
Yeah, it's so good. I don't know.
I also like Freebird Metallica been and too. Stuff, but...
Metallica is excellent.
It's easily the second best Guitar Hero.
Did you see that like Kiss like had like their bodies scanned or whatever so they can have like...
Like avatars? Of themselves play? Yeah,
it's like fucking hologram concerts.
Yeah, like Tupac?
Something like that, yeah. But before they die.
Fuck it, get the bag.
Yeah. But yeah, Guitar Hero 3 is legendary.
Yeah, I think that's the top three.
Anyway.
It also seems like someone's job is to just monitor everything that Stella does. And they could like either... see what she sees?
She's got like a thing in her head that has like a camera or whatever.
It seems like it definitely has a camera and it tracks her. But do they see through her eyes?
Probably. It's probably connected like neurologically.
Because there's this dude, Jim, and he just like sits behind a monitor and just kind of sees what she sees. So he saw them fucking.
Yeah, he saw them get laid.
And he was...
Point of view.
He's the one trying to figure out who hacked the network. And he had like a vague idea of what they look like. And then saw that Stella got fucked by him. And then he's like, oh, well, he's the guy.
Yeah, because there is like shots from her point of view and like in a car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They didn't understand that much, but it was supposed to be like a reveal later. But the next day, Stella goes to work and is partnered with the number one cop on the show named Logan Maximus. And he's like pretty brutal and stuff, I guess. We see some of his stuff earlier. And the criminal that they have to hunt down and persecute, is that the right word?
Prosecute
is Kirby, and who was watching this reveal on TV with his dad. So he's like, oh, fuck.
He's like, oh, dang, I smashed this cop.
And he's like, oh, fuck.
And the cop sees like who her target is. And she's like, fuck me.
Yeah.
Fuck my life.
The Maximus armor is so good.
Oh, man.
He looks like a Warhammer like person. That's how like big and bulky he is.
From space.
Yeah. From space. Yeah. It is awesome.
This is like one of those things where when he was like designing this, I'm wondering if he's like asking himself like, is this trad more enough, you know?
He's looking at the shoulder pads and he's like, this could be bigger.
He's going to be fucking crazy and make no sense.
That's why I want to see like his process on shit. Like, I wonder what this guy looks like in the beginning. Because if he looked like this from the beginning, I wouldn't be surprised. If he doesn't.
I just need like a YouTube channel of like different artists like doing a page and just kind of talking their way through it.
I love it.
Because I would eat that shit up.
Yeah. You should follow Dana Warren Johnson's YouTube.
I think I do.
He does that for commissions and it's pretty cool. I saw him do
any decisions.
Yeah, I know. But like his commissions are like pretty big and they're grand. Yeah, yeah. So I saw him draw a Ghidorah.
Yeah.
Or no, a Mothra. Sorry.
Cool.
Yeah. And it was pretty awesome.
Less cool, but they're so cool. So
he makes it look pretty cool. So yeah, that's chapter one. That was like a extra size issue.
60 pages. Dude. Yeah.
Which is dope.
That's
a way to start a Trad Moore book.
And it's like a good like first issue. Cause it locks you in, you learn a lot, and it's not too much, you know?
He gets the room to do like a bunch of double page spreads in the beginning.
This honestly could have been like no issues, just one graphic novel, and I think it would flow really well.
I agree.
I don't think like the breaks are needed. Sometimes it is, but yeah. I don't think it is in this case.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they publish this in issues individually, so.
Yeah.
So Kirby's friends come over and they're like, well, that's fucking crazy that happened to you. How can we help? But also Stella and Maximus get to his house and they're about to go get Kirby. But
so are his friends like betraying him?
No, they abandon all of their machines so they can't get tracked. I think they're like his hacker friends. And so they're like trying to help
like
him
cops,
out.
There's like cops in the bushes like when they're at the door.
I don't think they see them.
Maybe. It seems very convenient.
But I don't think they're ratting them out because they get like taken hostage. So
later, yeah.
It seems genuine, but But yeah, the cops are like also there at the same time. Kirby tries to make his escape driving through his garage to surprise them.
With his dad.
Yeah, his dad's there. And he's about to hit Stella, but Kirby avoids hitting him. They like crash. And then Maximus is about to go in for the kill. But then Stella makes like a split second decision and concusses Maximus and drives off with Kirby. So it's like a big sequence here. And these are some of the greatest action pages like ever.
Yeah, dude, because like, to the point where like I know what's happening, but also kind of don't know what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I was reading this and I showed Sophie this page where they're driving through the garage.
Yeah,
and she's like, "Whoa, is it like a space book?" And I'm like, "No, he's driving through a garage." And I was like,
"That's just a cool future garage.
It's just fucking awesome." Because
like where do you get that from?
I think these yellow parts are like the fucking panels of like the garage that they like drove through. So it all like has purpose there. But he just makes it look so euphoric, and he always has so fun with like the perspective. And God, he's just so good at what he does. And genius. He also makes like a cool car, like out of all this. So
great car. I mean, I think it's just a Camaro, but yeah.
Yeah, cool. But you know, he manages to make that work. And like the action, the future cop action is pretty wild because Maximus has like some gas that comes out of his fingers or something, and I'm not really sure what that is. There's some weapons in here where I'm like, I don't even know what that does, but this like. Also, this panel where Stella concusses Maximus with like this crazy futuristic concussive weapon.
Yeah, dude.
Super fun. And
I think it's crazy just like storytelling wise and then also just like art as well. But like how little we get of like the dad, of Kirby's dad. I feel like we don't get like a ton of like dialogue and like exposition from him. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I totally like understand like who he is.
Yeah.
As like a person and like a father, you know?
Yeah. He's like a deadbeat dad.
Deadbeat, like cares about his kids, but like.
Yeah. We'll do anything for him.
Yeah. Maybe not totally present, but it just kind of, he just fits really well. Cause especially when you care so much about like the main characters.
Yeah.
Like he's not just kind of like. A third wheel kind of thing. It feels like they're in this together. Kind
yeah,
of thing.
He definitely adds some stakes to this because he's trying to like protect his dad.
Yeah.
And stuff as well. So it's kind of cool. So Stella's grandpa is like.
Got the best eyebrows in the business.
He's got very poofy eyebrows.
He's got.
He also
he's got
looks the, like he's melting half the time. Which
he's
I
got the Tradmore
cool.
eyebrows. Yeah. And at the end, he's like completely melting.
He's like completely melting. And I think that's just like a like symbolism because of like how everything that he's built is like falling apart and like melting away or whatever. So it's a very clever. Design choice. He's melting.
Something I thought was super cool is that they had like the light of like the screen that he's looking on on this dude's skin, you
yeah,
know.
So yeah, I did see that.
So it's the lines of like the grandpa that he's on like a FaceTime with.
So
I'm like,
good.
Wow,
dude.
That's like
very
super detailed.
Yeah, it's cool. It's pretty cool. And so his, her. So his grandpa's like, well, let's just say to the public that she was kidnapped and we have to go save her because they can't have. Her taking out Maximus and going with a criminal. So Stella, Kirby, and Kirby's dad go to a hotel to hide out, and then they decide that they need to cut out the transmitter in Stella's head that gives their location. She also has to like close her eyes and stuff because they see through her eyes.
Something that I love about Tradmore's art is that, you know, you love how he does it, so you're kind of like more forgiving when it comes to certain panels, even when he draws like a derpy face like that. Dude, yeah. You know,
oh, I'm like, well, he meant to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, because it's like symmetric, you know,
it's symmetric, but it, you know, that's not like a cuddly face at the same time. You know, you get that he's like a big bulky guy, a little bit sinister.
Yeah,
pretty cool. And like there's some trippy sequences in here too where they're just like in the hotel, like you see the perspective of like the other side of the transmitter and like what Stella's seeing. And so you just see like this goofy looking version of Kirby. But and then it also has these like really normal moments that are like kind of quiet where Kirby's like, why me? And then Stella says, I have no idea. And then they just like hug. And it's this really nice, like quiet moment that's with so much chaos in this issue. It leads up to this really nice moment. And they're like not really doubting what they've done.
Yeah.
Because Stella just changed her entire fucking life.
Right.
And Kirby's life just got changed. Mm-hmm. And so now we have this quiet moment and it's really cool.
And I like how there's not too much there already to where like their decisions aren't super obvious.
Yeah.
As far as like what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be like too like hypothetical about it, but like I like how there's just this one connection where they're maybe like under the influence, but they still felt like this is worth fighting for kind of thing. It just kind of makes these risks kind of like
worth it
or like mean more, you know? And so, yeah.
Good stuff. Cool. And so they're both taking like huge risks.
Yeah. And he's got a cut in her fucking head.
Yeah. So does she always, she always had that, right?
The transmitter thing?
Yeah. So does she know about it?
Surely. Because how do they know
where there was a transmitter? She knew where to, okay, yeah. I don't think that she knew that they could see what she was seeing, though. That's the only thing. But then she also covered eyes. There's like something in here. She was like, no way, they're fucking been doing this to me my whole life or whatever. But anyway, so they end up cutting out the transmitter and then Kirby like hacks it. And so they don't take it out. And that's something I don't understand. He like hacks it and puts it back.
He's no, I don't think they ever take it out. He just like plugs into it.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Maybe it's just like too invasive to take it out. So he like hacks it.
Yeah.
And they figure out what they need to do next, which is to go back into town and save Stella's cat named Godzilla.
Nice.
And so they disguise themselves to do it. But when they get there, Stella's coworker, Jim, is there. And so is Maximus. So there's like a big fight. And I really like the sequence where they tell Kirby's dad about the plan to save the cat. And he's like, this is a really bad idea. And then it cuts to like, there's like a hard cut to like 90 minutes later. And they're all in costume in like her apartment building or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that was funny.
And so there is, in the last issue, there's like a picture of Maximus. And it was like a younger
Clark is his name.
Clark, the dad.
Yeah, the dad's name is Clark.
A younger Clark. He's not looking like a Clark to me, but whatever. And so that's kind of like a little reunion with Maximus and Clark here.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting, like,
because I guess Clark used to be cop or something.
They were both in the army or military,
yeah,
of some sort. So, yeah, I think that's kind of a cool little through line. Also, it's funny when they first go into the apartment, they don't know that Maximus is there, and Maximus found like the one spot that he could hide. It seems like because he's such a big bulky man, he's lucky that there's a ginormous pillar in the middle of her apartment. Because
most of the apartment is open concept, so there's no way he could really fight. He could hide.
Yeah,
maybe behind the island or something, but
it's pretty funny. So basically, there's a big fight. They save Godzilla, and they manage to take out Jim and Maximus. But Kirby's dad Clark was like stabbed in the stomach, and Stella's grandpa has Kirby's friends hostage, and he even like kills one of them like off rip as like a statement to get information out of the other two, and then Kirby, Clark, and Stella just head for the border. So,
dude, they pull like a 2000s movie thing where they do like a record scratch in a freeze frame.
Yeah, you're probably wondering how we got here. Yeah, which I think is super
fun. I didn't catch that when I was reading it for some reason.
What, the record scratch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just noticing.
It was cool. Yeah, this issue is told pretty non-linearly, which I appreciate, because if it was just kind of all together, like it would flow, but it was fun kind of learning about how they came up with this plan. So it was also fun seeing how Stella's so committed to getting her cat.
Yeah.
Also, in this fight scene, they like stop Maximus or whatever, and then he like disappears. Did you notice that? So like they knock him out. Is he not
in like the rubble or whatever?
He's gets like knocked out. There's like a bunch of lasers that hit him, and then he's like on the floor, and then later we like don't see him in the background. Is the room flooding?
The room looks like it's like got like fog in it or something.
Is that what it is?
Something like that. I don't know. I didn't really look that closely. But
okay, it looked like he just like disappeared or like respawned or something. So I was like, what the fuck happened here?
And there's also this kind of like, not super important, but like relationship with her like home AI or whatever.
Val. Yeah,
like she gets hacked and stuff, but that also helps like in the future and stuff like that.
And Val like really cares about Stella. And so she's like, I don't want them to hack me and like tell me things about you, so I want you to take me out. And I think that was cool.
Yeah. I thought she was gonna like kill her or something, like shut her down.
Something like that.
Delete her.
I don't know. So but she
comes back later.
Yeah, they must have put her on a thumb drive or whatever. I like the sequence where this panel where the grandpa like shoots one of Kirby's friends, and it's so like shocking and brutal.
Yeah, like the
like just with the blast from whatever gun he's using.
Yeah, I don't even really know what's happening, honestly.
It's such overkill, and like clearly you see like the person's head just get fucked up.
So my issue with this is like the panel right before that, it looks like he's like taking a gun from like one of his like soldiers or whatever, and it looks like he shoots the soldier, but it's actually one of his friends.
Yeah, it's the friend in the middle.
And so, yeah, it's a little bit, I was a little confused because, like,
I understood it. You could see the soldier in this panel too.
But there's two of them.
Yeah, true.
I guess if you look at, like, the dude's hat fly off.
I'm looking at just the shirt of the person.
Sure.
Because the guards are wearing,
oh, yeah,
like,
you see,
neon.
Like, his body, too.
Yeah. So okay. I wasn't confused by that.
Yeah, because I saw, you see his friends later, and I'm like, what about a third guy? You know? With the face, you know?
He doesn't have one anymore. But I'm like, that's what happened.
I guess he did die in that page.
Yeah. But it's such a fun, like, bullet trail that he does. He just makes it all weird and loopy.
Yeah. And then, the crew, they go to Arizona, Nathan.
Is that where they're going?
Practically. Because they're going to the border, which I assume is still the one by Mexico.
Is that where they're trying to go? Is Mexico?
They're going to, like, the border. And
well,
I assume
actually,
it's south.
In the beginning sequence, there's a family that's, like, going to Mexico. So this actually might be the Arizona border.
Hell yeah.
Why are so many things in Arizona, but they don't say it's from Arizona?
I think they just want it to be vague enough to where it's, like, the Wild West. And a lot of Wild West, like, movies were shot, like, near the border of, like, Arizona and California. Mm-hmm. And so it's always been kind of ambiguous.
I guess here that's just New California. So they're like, let's go to where Arizona used to be. Like, there's none of that.
There is some movie I saw. Oh, no. Asteroid City?
Yeah, it was clearly in Arizona.
Right.
But and they, like, never say it.
I think they said it was, like, on the border of, like, three states or something. But it was, like...
So, like, Arizona is one of them, you know?
Yeah.
Just say it. Give us a win, you know?
We don't want 310 to Yuma. We want other things, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Even New Mexico has, like, a really popular show set in there. Like,
yeah.
Nothing's in Arizona.
We got the pizza place, though. That's from that.
The one that he throws on top of the thing?
Yeah, it's Venezia's.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Delicious.
Do you work for them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Super good.
Did you throw any pizzas on roofs?
Every day.
That's how you deliver it?
That's how you clock in.
Pizzas on the house.
Yeah.
Issue chapter 4. So
I like this cover.
This cover's great.
It's
I don't even know what it means.
It's super Trad Mori, but in like a little gross, but little, still cool.
Yeah, like those back muscles. You have to stop working out.
It looks like a brain.
It does. It's gross.
So, it looks like fucking Angstrom Levy. Or Angstrom Levy.
Dude, yeah. His,
with his looks, brain on
his
back.
The brain goes down his back. Yeah, yeah. It does look like that.
Anyway.
Oh, dude. Getting an Invincible commission from Trad Mori would be so cool.
If I had that, I would probably kill myself.
If I... Well, oh my God, I'm so happy.
Because like nothing will... I'll never be as happy as I would be at that moment in my life. I'd give it a day, then kill myself.
Okay, yeah. Appreciate it. Put it on the wall. Shoot yourself.
Yeah, I'll put you in my will to have that, and then I'll shoot myself.
Okay, awesome. And then I'll shoot myself.
And it's like the fucking like tape from The Ring.
Yeah.
You die 7 days later.
Because it's like... That's like maximum enjoyment, I feel like.
Yeah.
Just like one of the most
to the unique, point where your life just goes into a deep depression.
One of the most unique and cool artists just doing one of the coolest properties in comics. Just so good.
He's going to do a fucking commission like that or like a print or something.
It's not going to be yours.
And it's not going to be mine. And I'll shoot myself. Like, so if I don't have it or if I do have it, I'm shooting myself.
Okay, hear me out. Serial killer comic book, and he hunts down the commissions that he likes that aren't going to him.
So he just kills art collectors?
Correct. And steals all their art.
And then you can ask like artist friends for like commissions and stuff to put in there, like digital ones.
That would be cool. Because there's a Dana Warren Johnson commission of Juggernaut choking out Colossus.
Yeah.
And it's one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Definitely.
And there's also James Herron Aquaman commission that I think is really fucking cool.
Most of Ryan Atley stuff, Mike. What the fuck, dude?
Yeah, he's pretty cool. There's some good commissioners out there.
Yeah,
love like it. Gordon.
Or like something by like just Frank Quietly, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like anything.
But like full Quietly where you see like every pore on their fucking face.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want one of those.
Oh, every wrinkle on their neck.
Like I'd have him draw something just weird and random, you know? I'd have him draw like the penguin just to see how he'd do it, you know?
Ugh, so wrinkly.
Yeah, it'd be so gross. So chapter 4, they're heading to the border, but they camp out before heading to the border the next day. We learn that Kirby's mom was killed by a cop. So it's like a little awkward because Stella's a cop. And Stella doesn't want to share what like her family life was like. They then find, they go to like a cave hideout thing that Clark knew about from his military days. And there's like a sweet little gesture that Kirby does where he gives Stella like a little cactus.
A rainbow cactus,
which is cute.
That's cool.
It's very nice. And there's like a fun...
I want it to be real now.
Yeah, there's like a fun page where it's like them in silhouette and stuff that I like. And like only the
there's cactus a lot of is in color.
Yeah, I know there's tons of those, but this is one of my favorites. And we don't really see this cactus at any other point. Like she doesn't like keep it with her. So I don't know what she does, but I think it's nice.
Keeps in the cave, probably.
Yeah, probably. So Stella takes the cryptographic scrambler thing that Kirby was working on in the network and walks it into the Border Patrol control room to scramble their cameras and tech. But like the guards there don't know that. They think that she was either kidnapped and like freed, or they just don't watch the show. And so they just see Stella and she's like a celebrity in this place. And so they're like, oh yeah, come to the back, you know,
okay.
Do whatever you need to do. And I think it's pretty fun.
Never mind. Don't have a problem with this scene anymore.
You're like, why would they let her in?
Yeah. I'm like, isn't she like on the run?
Yeah. That's part of it. Cause they hit it. They hit the fact that she concussed Maximus because the stream was like on a delay and they were able to like cut away from it. And the story was that she was kidnapped. So,
right.
And so while she's in that like tech control room, she uploads her AI Val to their system and then scramble the cameras and stuff. And then we see Maximus bring Kirby's friends towards the border. And then there's a moment between Kirby and his dad where his dad like locks Kirby outside of the cave so that he can like escape or something.
Yeah, there's like a tunnel
that
will take him out. And so like
he just forces him to go out that way, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he might do something silly.
Mm-hmm. I think he's trying to like sacrifice himself pretty much.
Yeah.
So pretty good. This is a nice like ending page. Like I like the contrast between like each of their sides.
Yeah. Super cool.
So then issue 5, Clark starts a fight with Maximus.
Real quick. These might be the coolest comic book tattoos I've ever seen. In like the second page.
Oh. Whoa, I didn't even notice that. He's got Clark's full sleeves. Arms,
dude. Yeah, he's got Japanese sleeves.
Dude.
And they're so fucking dope.
That's awesome.
I want Chad Moore to design a sleeve for me, dude.
Cool to introduce a character and then when he's like about to have the biggest fight of his life, show that he has tattoos.
So when he gets his stomach cut up at...
you can see a little bit of tattoo on his stomach.
Yeah, he's got like the normal like...
Did you see his arms at that point though?
No.
Okay.
But it's like the same design. So he's got like a full body suit.
I didn't notice this at first, but I love this reveal.
So sick.
But like, I also just love this buildup because the design of these two pages side by side, I don't know if you
I didn't see that.
That's one of the
so cool
things about it because like you see them start to square up and like these are just like, I don't know, a little anime. Like
this book's so fucking good.
It's so good.
I'm jealous that I got it for you.
I know. It's awesome. It's going to be sitting up there proud on my bookshelf.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, Clark starts a fight with Maximus. And then Jim, the like coworker dude, has Kirby's two friends locked in the car, like behind them, I guess. And then Stella and Kirby are shown something surprising about the wall that they're next to by Stella's AI Val. And she's like, maybe we should change the plan now that we know this, but we don't really know what it is first. And I don't really know what this like green misty weapon is that Clark and Maximus are fighting with, but it's pretty cool looking. Like this page is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm not sure what's happening either.
Yeah.
I didn't really see. Maybe he's just
like ripped ass. I don't know. But
oh, yeah. It's like some sort of like.
A gaseous.
It's like kind of like. It looks like it's like Daredevil's like buoy stick or whatever.
Yeah, but I don't.
But it he can turn gases into like solids and stuff, and they have like swords that they like stab each other with.
Yeah, I'm just impressed that Clark can square up against Maximus.
Yeah, dude,
it's pretty awesome.
He held his own
because like even his armor here is like all scratched up and shit, like pretty big gashes. It looks
so cool.
Yeah. I'm like, this is what it should look like.
It's not just like a mark. It like you can see like the indent.
Yeah.
You know?
Because before he kind of looks like his suit was made of like hubba bubba. You know?
Yeah. Now it looks like.
Now it's pretty hardcore.
A bunch of loaves or something.
Like bread loaves.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Looks delicious.
So Stella starts her live stream camera again and reveals to the world that she was not kidnapped. She fell in love with Kirby and took a chance and decided to run. And then she called her like president grandfather a liar and reveals that the border patrol wall that's keeping them in never really existed. And it's actually just a hologram. I think.
Kind of whack. Like, because like no one just went up to it before, you know?
I think even if you went, I think Val like took the illusion away. And so even if you were like right up next to it,
you couldn't slap it.
I don't think you could. I mean, you could, but I think.
Wouldn't you just fall through it?
Yeah. I mean, someone probably figured it out, but I don't think anybody's trying to attempt to climb that wall either.
That's valid. Yeah.
So
this is just the one way in and out.
Yeah. So there's a really great panel where the grandfather's like melting. Like in this sequence, and I think it's pretty cool because like everything he's worked for is like falling apart, and so he's just kind of like melting in anger. I think there's even a
there's a worse one, a more
extreme one somewhere.
But before that,
yeah, this one. What the fuck is going on with him?
Yeah, before that, they were once they'd heard what like Clark did. They were gonna like head back to like go like help him and stop him from like Maximus or whatever.
Yeah.
But then like Val like kind of hacked in like Maximus's like his like camera to see what's happening.
Yeah.
But then they realized that he like had died, and so they just had to like move forward with the plan.
Yeah.
And not waste time like going back.
Some really strong moments here, yeah.
Yeah.
And so the book ends with them pondering whether to run from their problems or stay and try and like help with some of the corruption in the city. And Stella decides that she's not running away, but she's rather choosing to start something new. And she starts to leave while Kirby stays. But then while she's like in the hologram, Kirby like doubles back and they're both like unsure of what they're going to do next. But I think what they've realized now is that it's finally like their choice of like what they want to do.
Yeah.
And the book ends before we find out what they decide. And
which is kind of cool.
Which is really nice because it's like this really fucking awesome moment. Like, it's really just Trad Moore going out with a fucking bang.
You can kind of like hear it, like how it would be if this was like a cartoon or like a movie or something like that.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, there's so many like collage pages that he does of them just kind of like
looking at each other
or like pondering what to do. And there's like this weird abstract, like these two circles that like get further apart from each other. I don't even really know what that is, like symbolically
that they're separating.
Yeah. That they're getting further away from each other. I don't know why it was just circles though. And it's just really cool. And then when he comes back, you're like, oh, thank goodness. Like they're back together. It's just so good, dude.
Yeah. So it's like, it's kind of like up to interpretation.
Yeah, it must be.
Which I think is fun. And then there's like this last page. It's like a little random. It's like, is the camera still on? You know, that from her helmet or whatever.
Do you want it to see?
She's like, do you want it to be? I'm like, are they about to fuck
in the hologram?
Yeah. While they're broadcasting to like the world.
Yeah. I really like this page where they like meet in the hologram and Kirby's like, are you sure you want to go? And she's like, no. And she's like, are you sure you want to stay? And he's like, no.
Yeah. So like, so they're really not conflicted. It's not obvious. It's just kind of whatever you want it to be. I think they leave.
This page would be perfect if not for like her nose is like a little bit weird.
Yeah, her nose is like that
like throughout the whole thing,
and in a lot of like the more Mori panels, you know.
Yeah, but like his nose is like very nosy.
Very nosy nose. So
but just in an unbelievable couple of pages. And like this kind of ending, that this is the kind of ending that if it's not super well done would be really annoying. But Trad Moore creating sort of this like euphoric abstract sequence of them like drifting apart and like finding each other in like the unknown and choosing like stay together, so sick.
Yeah,
love it. So anything else to say?
Nope.
So let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
We got some covers.
Yes, mostly the ones that we've seen before. There's one by Ian Bertram.
Yeah. And then the Tom Mueller like design covers are pretty cool.
It's just like shapes.
It looks like something that like a test printer page would print out.
Yeah, I totally know what you mean.
So that's pretty fun.
What else we got here?
Like B covers from Trad Moore as well.
Got one from Sloan Leong.
Oh, Sloan Leung, yeah. I feel like I've seen his stuff before, but...
Yeah, no.
There's another Sloan's statue, name, cover B, from Tradmore.
Yeah, there's two statues.
Yeah, I wonder what those were. Pretty cool, though.
Just like gods or something.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, just some covers. Pretty dang cool. Yeah. Also, shout out to this random bookmark I've had since 2016. Advertising Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. I got it from Ash Av Comics.
Dude, best movie.
Yeah. Changed everything. I was just like, man, I've had this bookmark a really long fucking time.
Yeah, dude, I never get rid of bookmarks.
Yeah.
You know what, Nathan? If you think about it, you should never buy a bookmark that's more than a dollar. Because you could just use the dollar as a bookmark.
Whoa. I definitely bought one for like $20.
I bought like some $5 ones, yeah.
I bought like a metal one that has Green Lantern on it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, with like art and shit.
Yeah, it looks like Darwin Cook art, but I don't think it is.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where that went, actually. So
it's probably in a book somewhere.
I kept this random paper one.
Yeah. So what do you rate this book, Nathan?
I rate it one big mushroom that I eat and trip.
I like it. I like it.
But it's not a bad trip. It's a cool one.
For nice. Sure.
Yeah.
Because of the colors and stuff. Have you ever been to like one of the Guy Fieri like Flavor Town restaurants or whatever?
No.
Well, if you do.
Have you?
Yeah, I've been to multiple.
Oh, okay.
There's one in Mexico I went to, and then there's one in Orlando that I went to. But they have the most insane desserts, and they have these like milkshakes, and this one has like a slice of cake on it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And it's like rainbow, like birthday cake.
There's a birthday cake on it.
Yeah. Isn't that sick?
Oh God. It makes me want to throw up.
And I got one once and it's so fucking good, but it's so dumb. But I give it that because it's just big and bombastic and unnecessary, but you love it, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's a good rating.
And so, yeah, something different, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tradmore, man. He's one of the greats.
Yeah, this is definitely like...
I can't wait to see like 5 years from now, like what he's done, you know?
Yeah, and I just want to keep going like back and like just reading all of his like interior work, mm-hmm. you know?
We still only got to do Silver Surfer Black.
We sure do.
Yeah, because you got a big fucking thing on your wall.
Yeah.
And that's one of the pages, I'm pretty sure. So
it's the cover, I think.
It's like one of the first pages, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For sure. And let's get into the pull list.
Yep.
Colon.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list, the pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Do you know what you're getting this week?
No. No, I don't.
We got Predator versus Wolverine, number 4.
Nice.
And I have Star Wars Dark Droids, number 5, which is the last of that mini event thing.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I have 4, but who knows?
It's probably a Green Lantern I'm picking up.
Probably. I didn't really look for you.
Either an Alan Scott or a War Journal or Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
One of those, probably.
Yeah.
And I've read a lot at this point. By the time you're hearing this... Probably read a lot on the plane.
A lot on the boat.
A lot on the boat. Tons of stuff.
Yeah.
Some on layover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Nathan, do you want to play panel doll?
Quick, I would love game. To play panel doll.
Okay. Didn't know if you're tired. Close your eyes.
For those of you that don't know, panel doll is like Wordle, but then it's like also like that one for movies where you like look at a random frame of a movie and try and guess what the movie is. But this is for panels. Of comic books, and I have to guess what the comic book is.
Hold on 1 sec.
No problem. It's kind of a, if you're an audio listener, jump on YouTube, look for yourself, see if you can guess it. If you're on YouTube, hi, how are you? How's it going?
Okay, you're getting open.
This is a great panel. Daniel, this is Coley Hamner. Drawing an old ass white guy and his cheeks in red.
Very good. Very good.
That's funny. Oh, yeah. This is Howard the Duck as a zombie in Marvel Zombies versus Army of Darkness.
Who's he eating?
He is eating Ash Williams.
Very good. Very good.
Guess who's drunk? This is from Scott Pilgrim.
I guess Wallace.
A Precious Little Life. Mm-hmm. Is that what that trade was called?
Scott Pilgrim's
Precious Little Life.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is one of the mangas we read. I like the censorship. Did I do that?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, that's funny. This is from Zom 100.
Very good. Very good.
I've been wanting to read more of that.
Really? You should.
Yeah.
You can get it on Viz Manga, which is like $2 or $3 a month, and you get like all of it.
Okay. That's fair. That's more than a reasonable price.
Yeah. No, it's like the best deal in comics, probably.
Yeah. Okay, this is Black Science. Mateo Scalera drawing a fish stripper.
Yeah, dancing for some alien frogs.
With a bunch of other frogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, I forgot about this. Oh, shit, what is this from? Spider-Man with his dogs out. Oh, this is from New Avengers. No, Young Avengers.
Very good. Who is this we're looking at?
This is Hulkling.
Correct.
Yeah. I forgot about that. This is from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, written and drawn by Sophie Campbell.
Very good, very good.
This is like the little pet that Raphael has.
Yeah, it's like a dinosaur or something.
Mm-hmm. I just noticed how small his like eyes are.
Yeah, when you compare it to like other art.
When I just like look at you, even, I'm like, damn. But this is American Born Jesus. Is that what that's called? American Jesus?
Yeah.
And the artist, he's doing the thing with Tom King. Peter Gross.
Very good. Very good.
That's definitely Daniel Warren Johnson art. So this is Duo Powerbomb.
Correct.
I don't remember this panel specifically.
You don't remember the puppy punch?
I don't remember the puppy punch.
That was, which was blocked.
Was this the one where Daniel Warren Johnson's like, how do I make a villain real quick? And so he just has someone try and punch a puppy?
Yeah. There's
was like it in like the bar?
There's a team and the dog like pissed on his shoe or something in the bar. This is such a
funny panel out of context.
I basically don't even pick hard panels. I just pick like my favorite ones.
Yeah, these are some good ones. This is from Blue Beetle. And we found out that this is Peacemaker because his arm says Peacemaker on it.
Yeah.
Coley Hamner.
Uh-huh.
One Piece. I don't know what the artist's name is. It's like Ito?
Oda.
Dude, this is fucking wild.
Oh, so good. I love it every time I see it.
Yeah, the mask. He's pulling off his skin mask, which is ironic because he's wearing a mask.
Ooh.
Doug. Is it Munch or Mankey?
Doug Munch. I think he said that on the episode.
Is there a Doug Munch?
No.
Did I make him up?
No. Yeah. Doug Munch is not a real person.
I think it is. I'm going to look it up again.
It sounds like a mascot for a cereal.
It is a person.
Who?
He's a writer.
What has he written?
Douglas Munch. He's an American comic book writer. Douglas
Munchkin. Doug Munch for short.
He's notable for his Batman work and the creator of Moon Knight. I did not know that.
The creator of Moon Knight?
And Black Mask. So
whoa. The mask.
It's like pretty close. Harvey Bullock. And Deathlok. We should read a Deathlok book.
Why?
Because it'd be so confusing, I feel like. I don't know he created Moon Knight, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Doug Mankey?
I say Mankey.
Mankey, like the Pokemon?
Yeah.
Dude, that is such a fucking scary panel.
Oh, nightmare fuel. I love it.
This is from Punisher Eminem. This is Wanted.
And this is like the most Eminem panel in the book.
This is literally a picture of Eminem, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the artist.
Ooh.
Mark Miller. I don't remember.
It's abbreviated.
J.G. Jones.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just remember like from the movie where it's like J.G. Miller on like the name tag on one of the cubicles.
Oh, that's funny.
That's how I remember.
Yeah. This is Frank Miller. This is when the weird humpback dude falls off the cliff because he just runs off the cliff, doesn't he?
Yeah, he just jumps off.
Yeah. This is a cool panel.
Yeah. Do you remember that guy's name?
No. I can look it up.
Isn't it like Effialtes or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I'm impressed. Effialtes, I think, is spot on.
It rolls off the tongue because I've said it like in my head a lot.
Yeah.
Effialtes, I'm good.
Yeah, dude. You nailed that.
That was a while ago.
You looked that up.
I didn't have it like ready.
This was such a good comic.
Oh yeah, dude. Did you see that like he's doing like a Ronin 2 that's coming out that came out this week?
Yeah.
Or last week?
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
Well, he just started an imprint, and so like if you're gonna
is he doing that book?
He's like, doing that book.
Interiors and stuff?
Yeah. So he started the imprint and he did a book to start it. So which is a pretty good way to get people excited about your imprint. He's like, oh, I guess I'll just do something.
Yeah, we should read that one day.
Yeah. It's a Ronin book?
Ronin. It's a Ronin book too.
I just bought Ronin because of that huge DC sale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is the Hulk.
Which one?
The immortal one.
Mm-hmm. What's his panel? What's he saying?
he's saying daddy. This is a weird panel out of context too.
Nah, it's fun.
Who's the artist on that? I'm trying to remember. He was like pretty controversial. I can't remember what his name was.
Yeah, he got canceled for something. Yeah. Oh, Joe Bennett.
Joe Bennett.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that. Well, he's canceled. That's why I forgot about him. What is that?
You know, I think I just picked a hard one because there wasn't that many funny panels in this one.
This is Killadelphia, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what that is. What am I looking at?
So I think this is like that cop who's creeping on that young vampire. And then after this, he gets like brutally murdered by other vampires.
But what is this panel?
It's like a chin. Like this is like a goatee, is a mouth and a nose.
Oh, okay. I got it. I thought this was like an eyeball or like something like a Spider-Man. So the whole perspective was like fucked up for me.
No. Who's the artist in that?
Clancy. Charlotte.
Sean Alexander. Charlotte's
Web. Sean Alexander. Jason Sean Alexander.
Yeah. I like to abbreviate it. I like to skip his first name.
Yeah. This is from Ice Cream Man.
Mm-hmm.
Don't remember the artist here either.
Such an M, I think. Martin Morazzo. Two M's.
This is from Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is when the guy says, I will blow this whole damn planet.
I will blow this whole damn planet.
Artist?
Dude, I couldn't tell you.
David Lopez.
I think this is a fill-in artist. This issue.
No, it was all David Lopez.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is Spawn. This can't be. I'm a black man.
Yeah.
Not again. This can't be. I'm a black man. It's so funny. Because he's supposed to be
Tom
black.
McFarlane's best.
He's clearly white. And he's like, I should be black. And it's so funny out of context.
Yeah.
The greatest book of all time. Godzilla Dunks.
Yeah.
Now, Godzilla, the Century War. The half century war.
Yep.
This is the best thing we've ever done on this podcast, I think. So like this panel normally like this is a space god crystal Godzilla and he has like levitation.
Space Godzilla. Yeah.
Space Godzilla.
Crystal and Godzilla.
And he has like levitation powers. And so he's like levitating Godzilla here, but it looks like he's getting dunked on. Yeah, so hard.
A nasty dunk.
Yeah. This is so dumb.
I think that's it.
That's it. Good stuff. Yeah, I should make one of these, but like have it be a random comic we haven't read and see if you can guess it. But
it's that
like
we one haven't I know. Read.
Yeah, but I should make it one that I know that you know, and then have it be like five panels, so like one really just like hard to guess one, all the way up to like super obvious. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, you know, with comics, it's kind of hard to like find one. It had to be like some random panel that doesn't actually show much.
Yeah,
for the hard one, and then like it just
because I think it should mimic
too obvious. I feel like.
But I think that's cool, you know. I think it should mimic like Framed, where it's like just random establishing shot, and it's like really hard to tell.
Unless yeah,
it
has but if
like
you have
a specific color grading or something to it.
But like if you haven't seen it, then like you're not gonna get it until like the
sometimes
last
I
one.
Do, dude.
I guess the last panel could just be the cover.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because like I haven't seen like Hateful Eight, and I remember getting that right in Framed. But anyway. Huh.
Alrighty. Well, thanks for everybody for playing Panel Duel.
Tell us how you did.
What are we gonna read next week?
Yeah, Nathan, what are we gonna read next week?
We're gonna read my book to you, which is Chroma.
Well, it's my book now.
It's your book now, but it's the book that I gave to you.
By Chroma by Lorenzo De Felici.
Yes. So you're going to eat the mic there.
That's just a big yawn.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Hope you have a happy new year.
Yeah. Thanks for watching.
Stay safe.
Check out the links in the bios. Send us an email what your plans are. What your favorite Tradmore book is.
Yeah.
Chamberspot@gmail.com. But we forgot, Nathan. We need to do nominations for the Trade Raiders Awards.
I haven't thought about this yet, so I was hoping we'd do it like next episode. Unless you have ideas.
I just have a few.
Okay.
So, best new Marvel book. There's just Ultimate Invasion is the only thing I read, I think.
From Marvel this whole year?
Probably.
Jesus Christ. You didn't read like...
Oh, I read some of She-Hulk. That's really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Rainbow Rowell.
That's right, yeah. Okay.
That was nominated.
What about Predator versus Wolverine?
All right, I'll give that a pass.
Okay.
Best new DC, I have Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
Which would probably be like the winner, but we're doing nominations right now.
Yeah, we got to do nominations.
Kong, Godzilla, Justice League.
Godzilla versus Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong?
I don't know.
It's one of those.
Doesn't matter what order.
We have... I really like the Green Lantern series. There's Night Terrors, which I kind of enjoyed.
What about best new indie? Anything that really...
Transformers,
okay. I'm
trying to think like what's past a couple issues that I've been picking up. I'd have to just look.
Okay. We can definitely just come in with...
Phantom Road.
With winners. Phantom Road, okay. That's a good one. And then we got best trade we've reviewed this past year.
This year? New World.
New World.
300.
I throw up Layla Starr.
Is that this year?
That was this year.
That must have been forever ago this year.
Practically.
When was a year ago?
About 52 weeks. 52 episodes.
So what is that? We're in like the 40s? 140s?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely that one.
Any other good ones that... Scott Ant-Man. Pilgrim, dude.
Scott Pilgrim. Yeah. Ant-Man.
Ant-Man was pretty good. I don't know if I'd put it.
Southern Bastards.
Dude, was that this year?
Yeah.
Fuck.
That was way after Layla Starr, so yeah.
Damn.
Okay. It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth.
Yeah.
Flashpoint.
Anyway, we
get... Superman Space Age.
That is one of the best.
Do a power bomb.
Yeah. Lots of things to consider. Lots to think
about, yeah.
We'll fight about it next week.
I can't wait. Marvel Zombies versus our Army of the Dead?
Yep.
Good stuff.
Best Nacho Series. I guess it wouldn't be Best Nacho Series. It would just be Nacho just Series.
I think it would be like Best Nacho Series.
I'd recommend Ambassadors.
Wow.
Because it had such a kick-ass number one. And just everything after it, like, it did complete the story, but just really did not keep that excitement for me.
Wow.
And that's the only example I can think of for a Nacho series this past year.
Wow. I would throw up Green Arrow.
Okay. What about, like, Void Rivals?
Dude, I haven't even given that one a fair chance.
Okay.
Have you?
I just read number one, so...
I just read number one, too.
Mm.
So I'll have to read a little bit more. I'll have to think about that one. Green Arrow is like the big one in my head.
Okay.
Maybe like... No, Night Terrors is great. I just think it ended a little bit weird.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll have to think. I think it's definitely... There's like a couple Dawn of DC books that we could throw in there. Because I've read quite a few of them.
Okay. Well, we'll let you think about it.
I'll think about it. Can you send me this list after as well?
Yep.
Okay.
Best prestige book. That was a new category we threw in this year.
Okay.
I would say just like the Devil's Cut, the distillery book.
Yeah.
That was the anthology, kind of giving us teasers of all the books.
There's Batman City of Madness.
True.
We have...
And also just the distillery books that came out this year.
Yeah, like the Jock one.
Gone. And then
gone, yeah. And then I think I've read more.
Was that
prestige
Gargoyles
books.
Of Gotham? Was that prestige?
Yeah, not? It is.
It is,
dude. Okay. That's a fucking good one.
Okay,
But again, there's like, those are only like one issue in. So it's
kind of hard.
A lot of the prestige ones, I think I've read this year, are only one issue in.
Yeah, it feels like the first one comes out and then the other ones just kind of sneak in there.
Yeah, like Gargoyles got pushed back. I think City of Madness comes out this week, number two.
Something like that.
Or next week. So.
We also threw in a new category, Biggest Back Matter. And I think
trades that we read?
Yeah. And I think that technically goes to It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth. Because it
it like ends
the book like through. Ends in the middle and then like restarts.
I think there's a bigger back matter.
And then it's all kind of back matter because there's like pencils from other books in the book, you know?
Good point. I like
so
that.
So it's kind of like the whole thing is back matter.
Well, there was like one book that we read, I remember, and there was like 90 pages of back matter.
Yeah, there's a lot of those.
What was that? Was it like The Mask or something?
Well, no, The Mask was like a deluxe that we read.
It's like Black Science? I'll have to look.
I can't remember. Anyway, moving on. And then a new category, Best Comic by Someone Who Doesn't Make Comics.
Is this our celebrity one?
Yep. We got Andy Samberg.
For The Holy Roller.
We got Paul Dano.
It's probably him.
We got Bruce Campbell.
Ooh, that's right. Sergeant Rock, Army of the Dead.
Yep. Iman Vellani.
That's right.
Did Miss Marvel.
She did do Miss Marvel.
And then I don't know if this book came out yet, but there's a book by David Desmalchian.
He did have a book that came out, but it's not the Todd McFarlane one.
Oh, no?
It was a different one.
What was it? Do you remember?
Some like super long name. I didn't pick it up, though.
Okay.
Okay.
Best Writer. Of the year. What do you think?
Wow.
Who's had like a real strong year? Maybe a couple books out that were all pretty banger.
I love me a DWJ. Dana Warren Johnson. But I think he ended Do a Powerbomb this year and started Transformers. Really strong.
Okay.
King's had an okay year. I think he wrapped up Human Target, starting a couple of books. But I don't know if it's been like super strong for him.
Maybe Chip. Did he end Daredevil this year?
Chip ended Daredevil. He's been doing Batman.
Batman.
Doing really strong. Mark Waid, World's Finest. I think we gave it to him last year.
I can't remember what we did last year.
Oh, I just had one in my head. Fuck, who was it? He threw me off.
Nope, sorry.
That's okay.
Best Penciler.
Mora.
Yeah.
I can eat his shit up. Christian Ward for City of Madness.
That's valid, yeah.
Yeah. I think his stuff's a lot of fun.
I'd have to dig a little bit deeper for like best inker.
Oh, is it Chris Burnham that does Doom Patrol?
Ooh, Burnham, dude.
Yeah. Burnham. He's been killing it.
He's been burning those pages.
He's been burning them.
He's been burning the other artists. That'll be hard to beat in my head for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we'll look into inkers and then best colorist. Is there anyone that pops up off the top of your head?
Is it Mike Spicer that colors Dan Ward Johnson?
Ooh.
Or is it,
that is a good one.
Yeah.
Or fucking
Matthias Bergara for doing like Coda. And
dude, what about like Heather Moore for what?
Oh, Doctor Strange.
Strange, yeah.
Ooh, yeah, that's gotta be a big one.
Because
we got to put him in for
that's like a skill to color that man's art.
Yeah, because it's like, what do you even, how do you look at that and be like, okay, I get it.
I wonder if they have flatters on that one.
Probably.
Yeah, I'd have to look at it, but. Oh, shit.
So then Chad Moore could probably be on like a penciler inker thing.
Does he ink his own stuff?
I think it's just all digital, so he doesn't technically have a thing, but.
I mean, there's got to be roughs, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, those are our nominations.
Yeah.
Please email in. Tell us your nominations and why. TradeWordsPod@gmail.com. And we'll see you next week.
Hold on. I'm looking at like Eisner's real quick to make sure we didn't miss anything obvious.
Okay. I'm going to look at the old.
Oh, Tom King had Gotham City year one. I forgot about that.
Is that this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark Russell.
So.
One Star Squadron, that was last year. Space Age this year.
We gave it to DWJ last year. And Dan Mora. slash Jorge Jimenez. I guess maybe you didn't. I didn't write down what the winners were, but
Sean Phillips did Night Fever. Pretty good. Bruno Redondo on Nightwing. Jordy Belair did Ant-Man, I guess.
Colors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was last year, though.
You think that's enough then?
Yeah, I'll think of some more that I read, but
yeah, you can still throw
a couple of these
there.
Are hard because it's like these were books that were in 2022, but going for Eisner's in 2023. So
yeah.
So I'm just trying to remember which ones are this year or not.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the One Bad Day Batman stuff that I think was this year, right? Batman One Bad Day. So there's like that Riddler one.
Oh, yeah, like the Catwoman one or mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah, there's like a Mateo Scalera did a Mr. Freeze. Dr. Freeze?
Mr. Freeze.
Was it Mr. Freeze?
Yeah.
I fucked myself up just now. Anyway. Yeah. So, yeah. I'll get a little bit more. We'll have an official list, and then we'll deem the winners at the beginning of the new year.
Sounds good.
Cool.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.